Our gospel reading for today is found on page 843 in your pew Bible. The reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 51 through 62. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." And the Lord said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But the man said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Late last week and early Monday, I was working on my message for today, and I'm going to be here next Sunday too, so invite all your friends. So a friend called me who I'd asked to pray for me in my sermon preparation and what the Lord had had me say, and so I said, "Yeah, this has been really a rough week. I've been busy and going and so on, and I'm sitting at my desk working on my message, and I just keep falling asleep." And he said, then there was this long pause, and he says, "Tom, if your sermon puts you to sleep..." So hang on. Let me pray for us. Father, you've given us your word, and we've come, Lord, to hear your word, not only in our heads, but in our hearts. So, Lord, come, Holy Spirit, keep us awake. Keep us attentive to you, to your glory, Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen. I'd like to tell you a parable. You'll see in it, it's not a Jesus age parable or a Jesus time, but there's an island, an island pretty much separated by itself with a good population of people. And this doctor had an airplane. It was one of these biplanes, and he decided to go visit this island and see what was going on. It was just an outing, and so he flew for most of the day, landed on the island, and the people greeted him, saw the plane landing, and he went among the people, and as he was talking to him, he spent the weekend there. He found out something strange about the population of this island. That when people turned 40, they died. I mean, on their birthday, they died at 40. And the doctor had never seen anything like this. He thought, that's the strangest thing I've ever seen. And so he took some blood samples from a number of people, got in his plane, flew back to the mainland, and did some work and some studies. And he found an antidote to the disease that actually was in every one of the people on this island that would make them immune to this virus that was present there. So he got in his plane, he flew back, and what he'd also done was found a tree on the island that he could use the sap from to generate this antidote. And he goes back, he's got syringes and lots of this medicine, and he goes back and tells the people, you don't have to die at 40. You can, a normal lifespan is much greater than this, maybe into your 80s or even 90s. And so the people were amazed, so he gave injections, and he got a group of people together and taught them how to make this serum from the local tree sap. And gave them syringes to last and told them how they could or get those and so on. And so he flew away with lots of people destined to live well beyond 40 and to live a normal lifespan. About 5-7 years later, I don't know how long it was, the doctor said, you know, I'm going to go check on these people, just see how they're doing, fully expecting that now the entire island would be inoculated and everybody would be living long lives. And so he went and found that to his surprise, a number of people were still dying at 40. So he got his group together and he said, what's going on here? And he said, well, we inoculated a bunch of people. They were interested in it. But after that, some people were skeptical. They didn't like vaccines. And so they said they'd hold. And, of course, we had to let them do that. And we got pretty busy as a group and quit kind of publicizing it. And so there are a few people now who come to us for inoculations because they've heard other people live longer and they want to live longer. But it's just not going as well as we had hoped. Well, as you've guessed, it's not a true story. It's a parable. But it's a parable about the kingdom of God. It's a parable about what Jesus is talking about, what the Apostle Paul is proclaiming, and what Elijah was saying in terms of, Lord, this isn't going like we expected it. In fact, I'm ready to give up. And God said, no, no, there's more to do here. So if we looked at some statistics of our own island, if you will, planet Earth, and said, well, what's going on with the inoculation that we've been given? See, we too have a terminal disease. Everyone on our planet is born with this terminal disease. We call it death. And so, and we realize that that terminal disease came because humankind in the very beginning decided, no, we want it our way. We're going to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and do our own thing. Not from the tree of life, the two trees in the Garden of Eden. And so this terminal disease of death came about in us. Not what the Lord had planned, not what he desired, not what's normal. And so, you know, God made his presence known on the planet, you know, with the whole of the Old Testament. Jesus came. He's the doctor, right? And through his death on the cross, allowed us to be forgiven. And whoever among us would believe in him, trust him, receive him as the Lord and Savior, he would give the gift of life to us, right? And so while our bodies still don't live forever, when we die, we get a new one. It doesn't die. It never will die. A beautiful, new, and wonderful body, and we live forever. In the kingdom of God and in heaven. So we can look at some stats right now about our own planet, our own island, and how it's doing. And so I got on the internet, and we have, according to this, 8.2 billion people on our island. 8.2 billion. However, only 32% of us claim to be Christian. Only 32% of us. And so on our island, 150,000 people will die each day. That's the estimate of our planet. How many people die per day on Earth? And it's 150,000. But of that 150,000 people, only 47,000 will receive new bodies when they die. And live forever. Well, man, You know, kind of like the doctor going back to the island, where we look around and say, "Man, those stats aren't real good." And even more closer to home is that some of the people outside that 32% are people we know and love and care about. They may be kids of ours. They may be the parents. They may be relatives. They may be neighbors that just haven't received Jesus as Lord and Savior yet, and who haven't received the gift of eternal life. And so we're the people in the kingdom of God that have been given this inoculation. And I want to read you a passage and from Matthew chapter 25. No, that's not the one I want to read you. Romans 8, which tells us that you and I have been chosen, that we're part of the people that are supposed to spread this glorious good news. And it says, and we know that the Apostle Paul is writing Romans 8, 28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, that's you and me, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And these to whom he justified, he also glorified. Meaning he gave us power. So you and I are the people that have been given the serum on our part of the island. But we too run into the same problem in our parable that the people on the island did, and that other people do. We look at the job and say, "Whoa, man, who am I to give this gift of eternal life to other people? I mean, I'm no pastor, I'm no evangelist. Who am I to do that?" And so we say, "I don't know if I'm up to that." We get busy, we get distracted. And so we can go around life without this conscious sense of who we are. That in the creation of the world, God looked forward into time and he saw you and he saw me. He saw each one of us. And he smiled and he said, "That's great. I'm going to give you a gift to give away." And so what do we do? What's our responsibility? And we've been called, we've been empowered, we've got this assignment. And so Jesus uses this analogy that I'd like to pick up on about he who puts his hand to the plow, right, and turns back isn't worthy of the kingdom. So as we're listening to God's word today, and we say, "Well, I want to put my hand to the plow. I want to put my hand. I don't feel adequate, I don't feel..." But just, well, what does it mean to say yes to Jesus in this important role? And so if we think of this, sharing the antidote, if you will, what might it mean if we use this plow analogy to say yes to Jesus? And I'd like to suggest there are four that came to my mind, four ways that we can respond when we... So we got a picture now. Not a doctor on an island with an airplane, but Jesus uses this agricultural analogy so much to the people that he taught. And so we can look and we got fields, okay? We got this fields out there. Maybe they're stretching out forever. We might think of the Midwest, for example, where you can just see forever this farmland. And we've got one of these plows that we hold on to. It's got a single blade on it. And it's hooked to an oxen up front, and we're supposed to plow this field. That's the analogy that's using. So I'd like to suggest four things that we can keep in mind to say, what does it mean to be faithful to God in the coming of his kingdom? And the first is to identify the field to which we're called. So again, if we're standing in the Midwest and we're looking out and, man, there's, 100 miles of fields and I got this little plow and what in the world can I do with it? And we figure we're going to got to plow all that, we wouldn't start. And so we need to look and say, well, who is it that the Lord has laid on my mind that is either a Christian who needs to be encouraged in their faith or someone who doesn't yet know the Lord that needs for whatever we can do. So as we think about that, we can begin to think, well, and we start with an inner circle. We've got some people in our families, people close to us, that need the Lord in a special way. We all need him. And so who might that be? And then the circle goes out a little bit further, and maybe who's in our neighborhood, who's an extended family, who's a friend, somebody we know out here, who again needs the Lord. And again, whether they're a Christian and they need support, or whether they don't yet know the Lord, we don't know. And we can, an exercise might be to write, make a list. Just make a list. And this is a size piece of paper I'd suggest you use. Okay, we don't have a whole tablet here. We can't handle hundreds of people. We can't say, I'm going to pray for every kid at Fountain Hills High School, right? We sit and say, what field has the Lord given me to plow? And so as we think of that, well, yeah, okay. Who comes to mind? The second thing, so we identify the field. Who's God laid on your heart? And you know who those people are. It doesn't take very long. They just come to mind. The Holy Spirit brings them to mind. You know who they are. And then we go to the second thing. So we identify the field, and we start to pray for the field. Okay? So I've got my list. And, you know, I've got 5, 6, 7, how many ever people on here? Maybe 10, maybe 15. You know, the Scripture tells us to pray for our leaders too, so I'm going to put our government guys on there, maybe as a group, not by name, but as a group. Lord, help us. And so as I begin to go down and pray on the second step, I listen to the Lord about what he lays on my heart. What is it about them? What is it about them? What do I know? What do they need? So in the second step, I ask the Lord to show me what these people's needs are, as best I can. I don't have to call them. I don't have to ask them, although there's some people, how can I pray for you? And they usually got some things I can pray for. Well, tuck those in my heart. And then we ask the Lord, the third step is to say, what kind of seed do we need for the field? Okay, we got this farming analogy. What kind of seed? So the people around us need different things. I can't get a tract, you know, and say, all right, I'm just going to mail this to everybody because it's got on it, Bible verses and so on. What do they need? What's the seed? Well, I think about this person. Well, this person maybe just needs encouragement. How you doing? And so what might I do to encourage them? So one of the ways the Lord lays that on me is texting. So in my prayers, people say, well, put down your phone. You don't want your, stuff like that. Well, I keep it there. And so if the Lord lays on John, I want you to know you just came to mind and I'm praying for you. God sure loves you. Yeah, just an encouragement. Maybe it's somebody I need to go see. Maybe it's somebody else who doesn't know the Lord. I texted another guy that isn't a Christian, but I know him and he knows me. And I just texted him a message and say, I'm praying for you. And it wasn't I'm praying you're going to get it right. Another person would love to have coffee sometime. And so each person, the Holy Spirit will tell us how we need to enter in, how we need to pray. And then the fourth thing. So we identify the field. We go to start listening to God about what it is about this field. And so a person is a field, okay? There may be fields. And then what seed do they need? And the fourth thing is follow the oxen. Follow the oxen. Now, that's weird, right? But again, we've got this plow thing, right? And so who pulls the plow through the field? The oxen does. If we think we've got to make something happen, then we're going to feel overwhelmed. Well, it's all on me. I've got to make something happen. Let's get this thing going. And so Jesus said to us, "Come to me, all who are burdened and heavy laden, for my yoke is light and easy." So we don't have to do something extraordinary. We don't have to make something happen. We don't have to be brilliant, or we just have to follow and let the Holy Spirit guide how we live our lives in relationship to the people whose fields he's given us. And when we surrender ourselves to Jesus in this way, it can be just a delight. Because see, the outcomes aren't our problem. It's God who brings this faith message. It's by grace we're saved. Not by your effort, my effort, or even their effort, but just by grace. So we don't have to say, "Well, gee, I don't know when my son or my daughter or my grandchild is going to come to the Lord. They're not believing yet. I'm feeling like a failure. This is hopeless." That's God's business. So at the end times, he talks about he's going to come and he's going to separate sheep from goats. But that's his business. That's his business. So we can just rejoice. So the good news is that God has already designed somebody into your life and my life, or we wouldn't be here today. And I've asked you before at various times, well, how many, was it a parent or a grandparent? How many people do we know that are Christians because of a great evangelist like Billy Graham or something like that? Well, there are some. There's certainly some. But most of us here are believers in Jesus because somebody was faithful. They just witnessed to the love of God. They took us to church, maybe. They were there when we needed them. And faith in us grew and flourished. They were ordinary, everyday people who've identified us as part of their field, who listened to the Holy Spirit about what kind of seed we needed at that point in our lives to come to know Jesus. And they trusted Jesus in our lives. So I'd like to pray over you in that way, and over me, a prayer that that Peter prayed on Pentecost for the people who had gathered around to hear the disciples who'd been filled with the Holy Spirit. So I'd like you to put yourself, as we pray now, in receiving mode, right? Just if you can put your hands out like this, if you feel like it, or you're just your heart open to the Lord. Let me pray for us. And now, Lord, take note of our weakness and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence, while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. May we be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak the word of God with boldness to your glory. Amen.